Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A Senate vote on a new abortion bill is on hold. We're live with where the measure stands.
And we're looking at the potential for showers over the weekend. I'll show you when to expect them.
Plus, new information about a truck that overturned and spilled its load near Benson.
A proposal to ban abortion after 12 weeks in North Carolina is one step away from the governor's desk. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It passed the House on a strict party line vote late last night and is about to pass in the Senate this morning, with Republicans voting to increase restrictions. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joins us live from outside the Senate chamber, where a debate is underway. Laura.
Renee, actually, that debate just broke. It's been a fiery morning, a lot of emotion on the floor, a lot of yelling from the gallery. I'd like to show you a little bit of the protesters who are standing around right now. The Senate took a break for an hour to allow some members to go to a prayer meeting across the street. They'll be back at 1 o'clock when the Democrats are expected to get their chance to speak. The bill has been fast-tracked through the House and Senate. It's 46 pages, highly complex. A lot of lawmakers don't even really know what's in it. They've had less than 48 hours to understand it. It is expected to pass, with the majority Republicans voting for it and Democrats against. The bill requires women seeking abortion to make at least 2 trips in person to the clinic, and 3, in most cases, a week or 2 apart. It also requires new tests and new warnings. And doctors would have to report all miscarriages or abortions after 12 weeks to the state. Sponsors say it also includes funding to help support new mothers, including child care funds and paid parental leave. Senator Amy Gailey is one of the sponsors. She says she used to be pro-life, pro-choice, rather, until she carried her first child.
When do you Democrats say that life begins? I have read your tweets and I have listened to your anti-life rhetoric. No, abortion in the third trimester is not just between a woman and her doctor. There is a baby involved. It is an infant.
Democrats have not yet had their chance to debate the bill. They will get that chance at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be carrying that online live, of course. The bill also creates new regulations on abortion clinics that could cause some to close their doors. We've seen that in other states. And doctors could be fined thousands if they violate the law and could lose their license. It also makes it a crime for anyone else to provide the pills to a woman for a medication abortion. Governor Roy Cooper has already said he's going to veto this bill. He will have 10 days to do that after it reaches his desk. The question is whether Republicans are going to have the votes to override that veto. As we said, all the Republicans have been voting for it, but there are a few Republicans who campaigned specifically on not increasing restrictions to abortion, so that may be a tough vote for those. Renee?
You know, you'll be watching this closely. Laura Leslie, live at the General Assembly. Another controversial bill heading to the state Senate today bans gender-affirming medical care for teens under the age of 18, even if their parents consent to that care. The House passed the Youth Health Protection Act last night. It would also block the use of state funds for any gender transition-related medical care. And it revokes the ability of minors to seek medical care without a parent's consent in certain cases, such as if they're pregnant or for help with addictions. Opponents of the legislation were not allowed to speak out against the bill. Our NC Capitol team will be closely monitoring these bills and more throughout the day. For new developments on where things stand with the abortion bill and the transgender medical ban for youth, go to the WRAL app on your phone or visit WRAL.com.
It's affected a lot of people this morning. Crews in Johnston County were busy cleaning up after a truck's cargo spilled along an interstate. WRAL's Brian Schrader has the Sky 5 video of this big mess, Brian.
Jeff, you know, earlier this week we had that truck that spilled trash all over Interstate 40 in Raleigh. But take a look at this video from WRAL Sky 5 over Benson this morning. This truck rolled on its side at the I-40-95 interchange just after 8 o'clock, and its cargo spilled. Crews had a big job to clean it up this morning. That mess partially blocked the ramp there, but drivers thankfully did not face big delays through that busy interchange. Now, we're working to get a lot of answers this afternoon. Who was the driver? How are they doing? What was the cargo? It appeared to be wood of some sort. And will police file any charges in this incident? We can tell you that it appears that scene has cleared this afternoon and traffic now is flowing freely.
To know. Brian, thank you.
A driver accused of crashing into a work zone on I-40, killing a construction worker, is expected to make his first court appearance. Troopers say 20-year-old Jason Mercia Guillen was drunk when he drove through barriers on Wednesday on I-40, killing C.J. Bryant. His appearance is set for 2 p.m.
We have showers on the way again this weekend. It'll be the ninth weekend in a row with rain. Elizabeth Gardner is at the NC State Farmers Market right now with a look at the timeline for that weekend rain. Elizabeth.
It's absolutely beautiful here right now. It is strawberry day, and we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. You probably have some outdoor plans over the weekend. This is the time where we tend to see such beautiful weather, and people do schedule their festivals this time of year. This will be the ninth weekend in a row that we could see rain. Let's take a look at the big picture right now. We're going to start off. There's a big high-pressure system that is in control of our weather right now. If we go to the graphics, you can see that. And then off to the left side of your screen, you can see some precipitation, and that is the system that is headed our way for the weekend. It will be nice and dry for the next couple of days, but again, we're going to see that one moving our way. Here's a look at Futurecast, and we're going to start this on Saturday. We're going to see increasing clouds on Friday night, and then we'll see some showers begin to move into the area. It's likely to be in our southwestern counties fairly early in the day, and then, of course, it's going to continue to move up across the region. We are looking at a chance of rain Saturday and Sunday, possibly even into Monday. And we'll take another look at that coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, it is strawberry day here at the State Farmers Market. We'll talk more about all the fun here and how important strawberries are to North Carolina. Back to you, Jeff.
All right, Elizabeth, thanks for that update. An Edgecombe County man is in jail after police say he seriously hurt a man in a hit-and-run crash. Police in Pine Top say 65-year-old Amos Batts is charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. He was arrested at his home after the crash. Witnesses say a driver hit a 24-year-old man on East Hamlet Street in Pine Tops around 10 yesterday morning. They say the driver turned his truck around after hitting the man once, speeding past him, nearly hitting him again. There's no word on the current condition of the man who was hit.
Police need your help finding a murder suspect. Jermaine Cartrett is accused of a deadly robbery that claimed the life of Terrence Hogue. Investigators say it happened Tuesday night on Canass Drive. They say Cartrett is dangerous. If you see him, call 911. How should schools discipline students? Leaders are looking for ways other than suspension. It comes after a state report showed a sharp increase in suspensions. A presentation by North Carolina Center for Safer Schools found an alarming lack of consistency in the way school systems discipline students. State leaders say there's a disconnect between the roles of administrators and school resource officers. A number of trainings were suggested to help in the classroom, including de-escalation.
UNC women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart will get another 5 years to lead the Tar Heel program. The new contract runs through the 2027 and 28 season. This morning, the university announced coach Courtney Banghart is the right leader for their program. Banghart is headed into her fifth season as coach of the Tar Heels. She's led the team to the first round of the NCAA tournament in 2021 and the Sweet 16 in 2022. The new contract runs through that 28 season, and UNC earned six AP top 25 wins in 22 and 23, the most in a single season since the 2014 and 15 season finished. 22 and 11 was the record then. State lawmakers are blocking the opportunity for student athletes at North Carolina high schools to profit off their name, image, and likeness. The state Senate voted to override the power of the State High School Athletic Association Board of Directors to approve an NIL policy. The move came just hours after the board of directors voted to allow NILs for high schoolers starting July 1st.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following breaking news out of Wall Street this afternoon. The Dow Jones down 447 points. The S&P 500 is down 40 points. This as banking fears are growing. We heard just earlier in the week that First Republic failed. J.P. Morgan did buy them. And today we are hearing that PacWest is now exploring all options as its stock is tumbling in the wake of that First Republic failure. The California-based bank says that it is in talks with several possible partners and investors, but the stock market really taking a hit this afternoon. Also, yesterday we heard that the Feds raised rates again a quarter of a percentage point. They did that for the 10th time in a little over a year. So we're going to stay on top of this. I'll bring you more from the Live Center.
Today is a national day of prayer. The U.S. Congress designated this day in 1952, asking people to turn to God in prayer and meditation. It's held each year on the first Thursday in May. President Joe Biden signed a proclamation Wednesday calling for peace and prosperity across the nation.
Next at noon, it's the first court appearance for the man accused of a mass shooting in Atlanta. How he was able to avoid police for nearly 8 hours.
Also, after 300 days in a Russian prison, Brittany Griner is trying to return to public life in America. She explains her new normal.
Plus, a coronation fit for a king. How London is preparing for this weekend's big event.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The 24-year-old man accused of opening fire on a medical center in Atlanta appeared in court today. He was arrested Wednesday night after an hours-long manhunt. Here's NBC's Morgan Chusky.
This morning, an Atlanta gunman no longer on the run. This video capturing the moment police caught up with Deion Patterson. The 24-year-old, authorities say, unleashed a deadly rampage in a hospital, launching a massive, nearly day-long manhunt.
An undercover officer was the one that originally saw and confronted this individual.
Police arresting Patterson after Wednesday's attack at Atlanta's Northside Hospital, where investigators say he pulled out a handgun and started shooting.
They're now advising the active shooter, a person shot.
The violent scene playing out in an 11th floor waiting room, where police say Patterson fired a hail of bullets, killing one victim, identified as 39-year-old Amy St. Pierre, a CDC employee. Four other women were also injured. According to police, Patterson was with his mother for an unknown medical appointment, but she was not hurt during the shooting. The active shooter call placed the bustling area on lockdown, which impacted several schools, including one attended by Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock's children.
They're there, I'm here. Hoping and praying that they are safe. But the truth is, none of us is safe.
Barely 30 minutes after opening fire, license plate recognition cameras spotted a vehicle the shooter stole 20 miles away, near Truist Park, where the Atlanta Braves play.
Those cameras proved extremely helpful today. That is where we got the precise location of the building that he walked into.
Patterson, a former member of the U.S. Coast Guard, had been discharged from active duty in January after nearly 5 years of service. Today, the motive for the shooting remains unclear. Authorities only saying they don't believe any of the victims were targeted.
This was a horrible act of gun violence. But equally horrifying is that we know that this is not unique in our country.
That was Morgan Chesky reporting. Now to California. A person of interest is in custody as police look into the possibility of a serial killer following a series of random and brutal attacks near the UC Davis campus. Since last Thursday, two men were stabbed to death and a woman who police say was in her 60s remains in critical condition. Police say they've collected evidence from the crime scenes. They are analyzing them now.
Tributes and condolences are pouring in for three-time Olympic medalist Tori Bowie. She was found dead in her home yesterday. Investigators don't suspect foul play. Bowie won three medals at the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio: gold in the 4x100-meter relay, silver in the 100 meters, and bronze in the 200. USA Track and Field said it was deeply saddened to hear of Bowie's death, adding that her impact on the sport is immeasurable. WNBA star Brittany Griner says it feels a little overwhelming to return to public life. Griner spent nearly 300 days in custody before being released as part of a prisoner swap involving a Russian arms dealer. The 32-year-old was sentenced to 9 years in prison under drug smuggling charges after authorities in Russia found cannabis oil in her luggage before her release last year. She has since been reintegrating into life in the United States. Griner says she'll never go overseas to play again. The Mercury regular season gets underway against the Los Angeles Sparks on May 19th.
The Fayetteville Woodpeckers will host a breast cancer awareness event today at Segra Stadium. The team is partnering with Pink Ink Tattoo for the Day of Hope event. It's happening this afternoon from 1 to 4. It will offer community cancer resources and speakers, along with other activities and entertainment. It is free and open to the public. Join us this weekend to help raise awareness and fight breast cancer. WREL is a proud sponsor of the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. It kicks off this Saturday at 9 a.m. at Research Triangle Park.
There's a special Star Wars Day tribute in Hollywood today. Carrie Fisher now has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The induction ceremony was this morning around 8:30 our time. Fisher died in 2016. She played Princess Leia in the Star Wars movies. Her co-stars, Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill, already have stars themselves.
And that was always the plan, to have it done on May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. And beautiful weather out there right now here in downtown Raleigh.
Yeah, we're going to take it right a little closer to downtown. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Gardner is at the State Farmers Market right now. Strawberry Day.
I love strawberry day. Strawberries are my absolute favorite fruit, and North Carolina strawberry, if you haven't had one in season, you have not lived. It is so amazing. They're so delicious. So we're at strawberry day, and they had strawberry day last year, but I think they missed it a year or two, you know, because of COVID. So behind me is Monica, and she's announcing the contest winner. I got to help judge the strawberry dessert contest. And so she's announcing the winner. She's announcing the third place winner right now. The strawberry desserts were amazing. So we do that up in the office, and then everybody comes down here and hangs out at the event center and tries some strawberry desserts, and there's a band. We'll probably get to hear from the band maybe coming up in a little bit, but Monica is so great about helping us with everything we need to know about Strawberry Day and strawberries in North Carolina. North Carolina is fourth in the nation in terms of strawberry production, so a fun event. You can see everybody's got a big smile on their face on this absolutely beautiful day. Let's take a look at what temperatures are. It feels phenomenal out here. Definitely. Our dew point's down at 38. It's not humid at all. 63 degrees is our current temperature. And we're looking at our temperature climbing up to 71 degrees this afternoon. So it's definitely going to be a nice one. Let's take a look at our temperatures around the area. It's 57 in Roxborough right now, 62 in South Hill, 65 in Rocky Mount, and 65 in Fayetteville. So it's really pleasantly cool out here right now. Around town, looking at 71 in Raleigh, 70 in Durham, 73 degrees in Fayetteville. And it's not as windy as it was yesterday, which makes it very pleasant feeling out here. We're going to see winds steady at about 5 to 10, maybe gusting up to 10 or 15. But yesterday and the day before, we saw winds gusting up to 30, 35 miles per hour. There's that high pressure system that's keeping things nice and dry for us right now. And of course, on the left side of your screen, you can see the precipitation. That is our system that's headed our way for the weekend. Let's roll through and take a look at Futurecast and talk about today all the way through Saturday. This is a look at our new high-res version of Futurecast. We can see that out 48 hours. For this afternoon, this evening, you can see there at 7:30, an isolated shower could pop up. Other than that, we clear out tonight, and Friday morning looks nicer. It's 8:45 in the morning. We're looking at afternoon cloud cover popping up, but we should stay mostly dry today and tomorrow. We jump on into Saturday, and that's the big question mark. We're going to start the day with some cloud cover between 7 and 8 a.m. The precipitation is going to move in from the south and west, and at lunchtime, this is a new run of the model that has only been out for a couple of hours, and it's different than our morning run. We're not seeing as much rain, but some scattered showers and isolated thunderstorm possible. Let's keep on moving through, and you can see that just continues on and off all day Saturday. We're looking at the potential for a few isolated showers again on Sunday as well. We're going to go over Sunday coming up in just a bit. We are a proud sponsor of the Ham and Yam Festival. I tell you what, this time of year, everything is happening. This afternoon, or in the afternoon, Saturday is when we'll have the best chance of seeing a few scattered showers. Temperatures on Saturday will be in the upper 60s. You see the pink ribbon there? Of course, Race for the Cure. We are a proud sponsor of that on Saturday. Coming up, I'm going to go over the forecast for that. It's looking better with the potential for rain not coming in until, of course, later on. So looking good there for us. As we get into early next week, we warm up into the 80s. I tell you what, though, being out here with 60s and low humidity, the weather is is phenomenal. So we have the Kudzu Ramblers that are going to come up and play again in a little bit. And we'll show you that coming up. And we'll also walk through Sunday's chance for rain. Back to you.
And all those thousands of folks, Elizabeth, who are out at that Komen Race for the Cure Saturday will be glad to hear that. They'll be tuned into it. Thank you.
Yes, the weekend will not be a washout. An urgent effort is underway in Raleigh to fill more than a third of vacant jobs at the Emergency Communications Center. Today at 4, Matt Tallhelm looks at the vacancy rate and what's being done to make sure someone answers your 911 call.
A bite of a cookie that changed everything. Tonight, as part of Allergy Awareness Month, a local family speaks only to Keely Arthur about why the rise in nut-based food replacements led to a heartbreaking tragedy. And still ahead this noon, Airbnb is taking steps to win over customers. Coming up, the new feature they hope will help travelers find the perfect accommodations.
And Elon Musk gets a green light to expand his underground system in Las Vegas. How the system will impact travel time for commuters.
We're following breaking news here at 12:23. We want to take you to Apex, where we have a crash that has closed both lanes of US 1 northbound right around the Friendship Road Bridge area. This is not too far from New Hill Holloman Road, heading from that interchange out toward the 540 interchange. Look at that live camera shows where they have that vehicle that is overturned there. And the two lanes are blocked. Traffic is getting by right now on that right shoulder, but you need to try to avoid US 1 northbound if you can this afternoon. DOT estimates it may be 1 or 2 o'clock before they are able to open all of those lanes of US 1 northbound. So this is leaving New Hill, heading into Apex. Best alternate route for you to consider using is old US 1, which parallels Highway 1, and then from there you can pick up 540 and continue on your way into Apex. No word yet on injuries with that crash.
Thanks, Brian. Airbnb is making some changes to attract more travelers. The company launched a new option called Airbnb Rooms. It allows travelers to book a single room instead of an entire house. Airbnb says the new feature is more affordable and allows travelers to search for specific private rooms. They also announced a new section known as Host Passport that provides more information about the host.
You might notice a spike in your car insurance as a result of all this inflation. Some of the nation's biggest insurers say the price hike is not good for business. Wall Street Journal reports Allstate suffered major losses as rates increased more than 8% across 28 states just this year. Progressive premium rates rose 4% so far this year. The rise in rates is a direct impact of higher-priced auto parts, severe weather, and longer repairs due to a worker shortage. Officials in Nevada have approved a plan to expand the underground Las Vegas loop. The Boring Company, which is owned by Elon Musk, is building the loop that will include 25 new extensions connecting new and previously approved stations. Individual stations still have to be reviewed with future land use applications. The loop currently links the three halls of the Convention Center and Resorts World Las Vegas.
A number of TurboTax customers in North Carolina can expect checks in their mailbox this month. We'll tell you why.
And Jay Gray reports from London about the final preparations for the first coronation in England in 7 decades.
First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Stay with us.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Excitement is building in London today as the city is working through its final preparations for a celebration unlike anything they have seen there in more than 70 years.
Festivals, parades, a massive concert, all centered around this weekend's coronation of King Charles III. Jay Gray has more on those preparations.
Well, final preparations continuing in London here right now. So are the practices for what is going to be an amazing event this weekend in Westminster Abbey. Just behind us here, the coronation of King Charles III. Look, hundreds of thousands pouring into London to be a part of all of the festivities and ceremonies. He's been king since his mother's passing late last year, but for many, this service will make it official, if you will. There are those, though, that will be watching this with a bit of a jaded eye. We expect about 2,000 protesters to gather here. They're anti-monarchy protesters, people who believe perhaps the monarchy has outlived its relevance here in the UK. They will be greatly outnumbered by those that are gathering, again, to be a part of history, to see all of the festivities here, and just take in what is an event that we haven't seen in more than 70 years, with the long reign of Charles's mother before her passing late last year. Should be a fantastic time. We'll continue to monitor everything going on during the final preparation and practices. But for now, I'm Jay Gray in London. Back to you.
Jay, thank you. And Saturday morning, WRL will carry NBC's coverage of the coronation of King Charles from 5 to 10. Our local news will air from 6 to 8 on Fox 50, and then after the special coverage on WRL.
Your Duke Energy bill will likely be going up. The question is, by how much? State utility regulators will meet today to talk about how much the utility should be allowed to raise electricity rates. Last week, Duke Energy announced a partial settlement with the State Utilities Commission public staff that would reduce the company's original request to raise rates by over 16% over the next 3 years. The recalculation of the rate hike has not yet been decided.
You know, we know that we need to do everything we can to manage our costs, to keep those costs as low as possible. But we also have to prepare the grid. We're seeing storms increasing in frequency and severity in our state. And that expectation for reliable service and resiliency to get power restored is very, very high among customers.
Duke Energy says the largest increase would be the first year of the three-year period. The proposed increase would hike bills by about $25 per every 1,000 kilowatt hours used. North Carolinians who were tricked into paying for free tax services by TurboTax will soon be getting checks from the company's owner, Intuit. This is a result of a $141 million multi-state settlement reached in May of last year. Attorney General Josh Stein was part of the executive committee of states investigating Intuit. Eligible consumers will get an email notification and receive their checks in the mail this month. Those who are eligible for payment do not have to file a claim. Most consumers are expected to receive between $29 and $30.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Orange, Nash, and Wilson counties. Let's start in Orange. Lane closures are in place at the I-85 North I-40 split in Orange County. The DOT shifted traffic into a new temporary pattern. So starting tonight at 9, the right lane will be closed. It's expected to reopen tomorrow morning at 5 in time for the commute. More overnight closures are expected Friday into Saturday morning. This is all part of a widening project where crews are building a third lane to improve traffic flow and safety. Nash County School Board members are holding a special meeting at 4 this afternoon for a vote on a resolution to oppose a state Senate bill. The bill calls for the redistricting of the school board following the separation of the Edgecombe County and Nash County school systems. Opponents say the redistricting could lead to a loss of black representation on the school board. The Wilson Human Relations Commission is asking county commissioners to remove a Confederate monument in the county courthouse square. The stone monument, erected in 1926, pays tribute to veterans. It displays both the American flag and the Confederate battle flag. A 2015 state law requires the county to follow a series of steps before commissioners could vote on whether to remove the monument.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have new information on a story we've been following closely involving Alder Maureen Sotelo, the man accused in the murder of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd. The Piedmont Regional Jail, where he escaped from, wants to clarify certain information this afternoon. They say while it's true that the Jail Authority Board has discussed door lock replacement in previous meetings, they were referring to interior doors in a different housing pod from which the inmate escaped. They also say the car was not parked on jail property, but rather in a lot off-site. The FBI is offering $70,000 to any information that leads them to Sotelo.
Thanks, Michelle. Treating fibroids without surgery, the new medication that could be a game changer for many women.
And the next time you go to the doctor's office or end up in the hospital, you may not have a friendly face to help you. Why a third of nurses say they are ready to quit. A newer, more effective treatment for uterine fibroids that does not require surgery is available. That's good news for the estimated 26 million women in the U.S. who have fibroids, including the millions of black women who are disproportionately affected by these benign tumors. Dee Dee Stepan spoke with Dr. Elizabeth Stewart, who published a review on these approved fibroid medications.
There are two new FDA-approved drugs for the medical treatment of uterine fibroids.
Dr. Ebby Stewart says the new drugs are effective in treating heavy menstrual bleeding, relieving pain, and reducing the need for a hysterectomy.
Because many women are pushed in the direction of surgical therapy, and we know there are big limitations to surgical therapies, this is a great treatment option for many women.
Fibroids are benign growths in the uterus. While common, they can be disruptive and disproportionately affect women of color.
There's evidence that black women are more likely to have fibroids and more likely to have severe fibroids and severe fibroid symptoms.
Dr. Stewart is encouraged.
To be able to take a medication and get a terrific relief of their symptoms, I think will be a game changer for many women.
That was Dee Dee Stepan reporting. A frightening statistic here from the medical field. A third of nurses plan to leave the profession. That's up 7% from 2021. 63% of those nurses say they're looking for a safer working environment to reduce their anxiety. Many nurses surveyed blame the coronavirus pandemic for making them feel fatigued and overwhelmed. More protection against the highly contagious illness RSV could be available this fall. The FDA approved the very first vaccine for the virus. The drug Arexvy is designed to be given in a single shot to adults 60 and older. RSV is often associated with babies, but young kids can potentially kill tens of thousands of seniors as well each year. It is especially dangerous for older adults with underlying health conditions. A big celebration of Southern flavors is happening in Smithfield this weekend. Just ahead, what is new and exciting at this year's Ham and Yam Festival? And parents don't have a lot of time to spend or spend a lot of money to provide a great summer experience for their kids. We will share summer fun ideas that won't break your bank. In fact, some of them won't even cost you a dime. Welcome back this noon. Here's a live look at Carolina Beach right now. Almost looks like the Caribbean with that blue water out there. So beautiful. Some folks enjoying it. Bit of a cool breeze off the water, though. It's in the upper 60s there. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
It is lunchtime, and don't ham biscuits sound good, huh? If that sounds good, we've got some here, and you can get your fix at this weekend's festival, the Ham and Yam Festival, going on in Johnston County tomorrow, and here to tell us about the on Saturday. And here to tell us about the event are Sloan Stevens as well as Sarah Edwards. Great to have you both here. The Ham and Yam Festival, love saying it, love the rhyme. Sarah, first tell us about the history behind the whole festival.
Sure. This is the 37th annual Ham and Yam Festival. It got its start back in the 80s. And it started as a competition between the Smithfield, North Carolina ham producers and the Smithfield, Virginia ham producers. And they came down and there was a competition for a few years and we kept winning. So they stopped coming. And we've continued the celebration since then. Obviously celebrating ham, but also yams. Johnston County is a top producer of sweet potatoes. So it celebrates our agricultural history.
So there will be food, live entertainment, lots of fun for the whole family,
absolutely.
Right?
It's a great day for the whole family.
And Sloan, tell us about your business and how you guys got involved with this festival.
Yes, ma'am. So we've been involved with it since its inception. We're one of the original five country ham producers in Johnston County who competed in this competition. And my grandfather was one of the original guys. And it's kind of a generational event. And I'm happy to keep it going. Great event for the families. Country Ham Biscuits from the Kiwanis Club is one of the main draws, along with all our other vendors and agriculture. Just want to promote the town and agriculture in Johnston County.
T-
to this day, ham and yam, who's winning out? Or you got to get both when you're at the festival.
I think for sure you have to get both. The country ham biscuits today are provided by the diner, but on Saturday you can get them from the Kiwanis Club of Smithfield. They always have a line. They're professionals, though, and they move people through quickly. Yeah. But there are lots of sweet potato foods, too. We'll have pies and cakes and sweet potato ice cream. So lots of good opportunities to try both.
A lot of good eats.
Absolutely.
What's new this year that's happening, or how are you expanding the festival?
Sure, we've got more vendors this year than we had last year, a great mix of artists and makers and crafters, but also some local nonprofit organizations and commercial businesses as well. And then we've got a great lineup of entertainment. We always do, but this year we are proud to have All My Rowdy Friends, which is the one and only ultimate Hank Williams Jr. tribute band. We'll have some other local flavor throughout the day, everything from Motown and soul to reggae to rock and country. There's literally something for everyone at the Ham and Yam Festival.
And for those who have never been to the Ham and Yam Festival, what would you say is your big recommendation for this?
Well, obviously the country ham biscuits, but
gotta get your
But there's lots of other 130 vendors, I think, this year. And downtown Smithfield has opened up a brand new amphitheater. Actually, Friday night, a free concert put on by the town of Smithfield. And with going into the Ham and Yam on Saturday, so there's plenty going on in Smithfield. Come out and see us. We love to have everybody.
Bring your family, bring your family. Appetite.
Yep, that's right.
This Saturday, the Ham and Yam Festival. Mm-hmm. WRL is a proud community sponsor. We hope to see you out there this Saturday. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having
us. Jeff, I'll save you maybe a biscuit.
Yeah, hey, distract them and snag a few of those and bring them back in the studio here. All right. Renee, thank you. There you go. Bring it on back in here. And we have strawberries for desserts because Elizabeth Gardner is at the NC State Farmers Market right now, bringing us this beautiful day and the great story of the strawberries there, Elizabeth.
You're going to let Renee run off with those ham biscuits? That was so funny. Angie, let me introduce the Kudzu Ramblers. A lot of these guys and gals are actually NC State professors, and the NC State clogging team was out here just a little while ago. But they sound fantastic. Great little bluegrass band. Of course, we're out here at the State Farmers Market, Strawberry Day. I've been to Strawberry Day probably more times than I could possibly count, and I don't remember live music, so this is so much fun. I want to introduce you to somebody else. Let's come over here. It's been busy here today. Look, we've got Susie Strawberry over here. Say hello, Susie Strawberry.
Hello.
She's been over here taking pictures with everybody. Strawberries, of course, are in season right now. It was a bit of a rough year for the strawberries, though. It got so warm in February that they started to bloom, and then it got cold in March. And so the season, in terms of being able to find strawberries that are fresh North Carolina strawberries, will probably run through the end of the month, maybe into early June. So you don't want to miss it. It's absolutely delicious. It's such a fantastic day, too. Let's take a look outside. We've got our four cameras to take a look at, and you can see, of course, Fayetteville looking beautiful, Apex, Chapel Hill, all looking absolutely gorgeous right now. We've been talking about that rain that's in our forecast for the weekend, and I promised you that we would walk through Sunday, so that's what we'll do. Wanted to set the stage, though, again for you, that high-pressure system, that's what's bringing us all the sunshine right now. And then on the left side of your screen, we have the rain that will roll in on Saturday, and we're going to have a couple of disturbances that affect us. We're just going to go ahead and start with Saturday, because we know today and tomorrow are going to be beautiful, minus just a few afternoon clouds. So in the morning Saturday, you can see that it's cloudy. We'll roll it ahead. We're likely to see the rain edging into the south and western portion of the viewing area first. And for things like the Race for the Cure, that's pretty good news if nothing changes. Now, we'll still get a lot of runs of the computer models in between now and Saturday morning. So keep checking back. But this is looking a lot more scattered than it was with the previous run. It does look like we'll see scattered showers on and off all day Saturday. And then we have to transition to the long-range model. And this is going to be a little blobbier looking. Tomorrow we'll have the high-resolution model, and we'll be able to really fine-tune it for Sunday, too. But here's 8 a.m. Sunday, looking at some cloudy skies. And in the afternoon, a few showers pop up. The one thing about this is the amount of rain that we're likely to see is light both days, likely to be less than a quarter of an inch each day. And right now, it doesn't look like we would see much in terms of thunderstorms. So that is definitely a piece of good news. Let's jump on ahead and take a look at some of the percentage changes chances for rain as we get through the weekend. It's a 40% chance Saturday and Sunday. And then it looks like we could continue with our wet pattern into Monday and Tuesday, but the temperatures really start to climb at that point. So, as I mentioned, for Komen Race for the Cure, the forecast is looking better. I know we've got 40 and 50% chance there at 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. We're probably going to bump that back a bit. We're probably not looking at a 40% chance of rain until closer to lunchtime. So, good news for folks heading out to the race. And, of course, we are proud sponsors of the Race for the Cure. A chance of some showers linger into Monday and Tuesday, and our temperatures really start to climb. We're looking at highs in the 80s. Okay, I got to have some of this. Oh, this looks fantastic. Can I just grab one?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And these are just plain strawberries.
Plain strawberries.
Yes,
I got both. I mean, Renee was running off with a giant plate of ham biscuits. I can have two cups of strawberries, right? So the State Farmers Market made the strawberry crisp for today. Sometimes it's ice cream, but let's see. All right, now I've got too much here. All right, I got to taste it.
News right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
you
a whole lot of eating.
You called out Renee for not bringing the ham biscuits back, so don't make the same mistake with the strawberries. All right. Way to go, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Sit here and eat some more strawberries.
I feel like a little ham and then some strawberries to top it off.
Dessert. Yeah. You know, a lot of Americans are looking forward to a glorious adventure outdoors for Memorial Day. Just ahead, we will let you know how many people can plan on camping that holiday weekend.
First, here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. We have 21, 26, 30, 45, 47. The Powerball is 23. The multiplier is 3.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are staying on top of a bad crash on US 1 North in Apex. This is the scene from Sky 5. This is US 1 North in Apex. The road is closed after exit 89, which is New Hill Holloman Road. As you can see, it's a long, long line of traffic. Lanes have been reduced to one. Once you get up to that crash, it is two lanes. It is reduced to one lane. We are working to learn if anybody was hurt, how many people were in this car, and how this happened. We're going to stay on top of this, and you can look for updates on our website. That's WREL.com.
And we continue to wrap things up here with a few of the headlines we're following for you today. A proposal to ban abortion after 12 weeks in North Carolina is one step away from the governor's desk. The state Senate is poised to vote on the measure this afternoon. Governor Roy Cooper has already said he will veto the bill. He will have 10 days to do that. Whether Republicans will have the votes to override that veto is an open question.
A driver accused of crashing into a work zone on I-40, killing a construction worker, is expected to make its first court appearance this afternoon. Troopers say 20-year-old Jason Mercia Guillen was impaired when he drove through barriers on Wednesday, killing C.J. Bryant. His appearance is set for 2 this afternoon. Summer is right around the corner, and many people are looking forward to going camping. About 23 million households are planning to go camping Memorial Day weekend. 38% of people say they will enjoy the activity as an affordable way to travel, despite economic hardships. 40% of people say they prefer a more luxurious version of camping, known as glamping. It's certainly gained more popularity over the years.
And this, as Americans are headed into summer with some strained wallets due to inflation, there are some ways to still have fun on a budget. First, start looking for cheap or free events in your city. Consider a local library, parks, or gardens. You can also get membership to the zoo, aquarium, or museum, and make several visits all summer long. If you're determined to travel, look for a location nearby and divide the expenses with friends and family.
Our pet of the day from the Wake County SPCA is sure to melt your heart. Look at this face. This is Scarlet, 6 years old, spayed female dog, weighs in almost 50 pounds. Scarlet is a lively, bouncy girl looking for somebody who can keep up with her. She appears to be good with other dogs and is also super social and loves people. To get more information about Scarlet, visit spcawake.org. Aww. She has a face that says, adopt me.
Yeah, and inquisitive looking there. And today, without the wind out there, it'd be a great day for a dog walk, certainly.
Yes, much more enjoyable when you don't have all those wind gusts and that sunshine out there. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
And you can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great Thursday.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.